This entire 139th psalm is a prayer that is offered unto God. The real petition of the prayer does not come until the last two verses. But the entire psalm is a prayer, and as so many of the models for prayer in the scriptures, we find that the first part of the psalm is taken up in the declaration of God, His greatness, His powers, His abilities, His nature. So many times in Scripture, the petitions of the prayer are not brought into the prayer until the end of the prayer, as is here. The first portion of the prayer just being an acknowledgement of God, which Psalms 139 does begin with the acknowledgement of the vastness of God's knowledge and understanding, especially about me. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. The realization by the psalmist that God does know me, God knows me thoroughly, God has searched me. The Bible says that everything is naked and open with him we have to deal. In other words, I've got to deal with God, but there's nothing that I can hide from God. My life is like an open book before the Lord. I don't hide a thing from him. God, Thou hast searched me, and You have known me. In fact, the psalmist recognizes that God knows me better than I know myself. He said, You know my highs and my lows. You know my down sittings, my uprisings. You understand my thoughts afar off. Now, that does not mean that God is way off at some other end of the universe and I'm way down here on the earth, and from this long distance, God understands my thoughts. In the Hebrew, the idea is, You understand my thoughts in the origins, or You understand my thoughts before I even know them. You know more about me, God, than I know about myself. You know my highs, my lows. You know my depressions, but more than that, You know why I am depressed. Now, a lot of times we don't know that. We just wake up and we just don't feel good. We feel depressed. And then someone says, Well, what's wrong with you today? Well, I don't know. I just don't feel good. I feel lousy. I feel miserable. I don't know why I do. I don't know what's going wrong with the chemicals in my brain. I don't know what kind of a chemical imbalance there might be in my body. I don't know if I'm maybe needing the B vitamins or something. I don't know. I just don't feel good. But God knows all about my body chemistry. He knows what chemicals it takes and how they mix to create the little electronic or a little brain pattern waves that bring thoughts and ideas into my mind. Where did that thought come from? I don't know. Just thought it. Well, what chemicals mix to create that thought? I don't know. Well, how did you ever remember that? I don't know. It just, came to me. But God knows the thoughts in their origins. He knows them while the chemicals are mixing, getting ready to flash that little pattern across my brain that brings a certain idea, a certain thought or whatever. God, You know my thoughts in their origins. And then You encompass my life, my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways. God is the peripheral around my life. He encircles me. When I'm walking, when I'm sleeping, surrounded by God. Before I speak, You know what I'm going to say. He said, there's not a word in my tongue but what you've known it completely. I don't utter a phrase, but what God hasn't already known what I was going to utter. The psalmist said, such knowledge is too high for me. I cannot attain it. What knowledge? Self-knowledge. The psalmist said, to know myself is too much. I don't really know myself. Socrates used to often say to his pupils, man, know thyself. But how few people really do. We oftentimes spend our lives deceiving others about ourselves, trying to hide the truth from others. I don't want them to know what I know about me. And so many people live a life that is a total facade as they are trying to hide the truth about themselves from others. But in living this facade, so often a person actually begins to hide the truth from himself, and we really don't know ourselves. In fact, the scripture declares, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Talking about your heart. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. God said, who can know it? The Bible warns us so many times about being deceived. In Galatians we read, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Many times people deceive themselves in these issues. They think that they can live a life of the flesh and reap a spiritual harvest. Impossible. In John, he said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth of God is not in us. And yet, how tragic it is that so many people have deceived themselves and really do not know the truth about themselves. Have you ever asked, why did I do that? And you really don't know why you did a certain thing? You say, now why did I do that? That was so dumb. Why did I do that? A lot of times when a person says, well, why did you do it? We answer, I don't know why I did it. Now, sometimes we answer that to cover that we really do know, but the motive was so dastardly, we don't want to tell them the truth. And so we just say, well, I don't know why I did it. Because we don't want to reveal how horrible we really are in what I was really intending or my true motive in the thing. But it is also true that there are many times that we do things that we do not ourselves really know why we did it. But God understands me completely. God knows my heart. God knows my motives. And the wonder of all wonders is knowing me as thoroughly as he does, he still loves me. I had a teacher in sixth grade one time tell the class, almost everything a person does, he does from selfish motivation. Now, the whole while I was growing up, I was taught by my mother, now you mustn't be selfish, son. You've got to learn to share your things. Don't be selfish. And selfishness was in my mind an evil trait, a bad trait. So when the teacher said, everything that we do stems from selfishness, in my mind I rebelled against that. Because to me, selfishness was bad. And I had tried not to be selfish. And I thought, that isn't true. I am going to challenge the statement of that teacher. And this, of course, was in my own mind. I started challenging it in my own mind by carefully examining the things that I was doing. And the deeper I probed, the more I realized that what he said was true. If I would probe deep enough behind my actions, I would find selfish motivation. If you just go back deep enough, if you can dig down deep enough, you'll find that down deep underneath of these things that I, am doing that make, look, oh, isn't he generous? Isn't he nice? And the real motivation is so people would say, oh, isn't he nice? Look how generous he is. You see, selfishness was back there. It wasn't that I was really being so magnanimous and generous. It was I wanted people to think that I was. The heart, deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the psalmist says, Lord, thou knowest. You've searched my heart. You know me, God. You know me thoroughly. You know me better than I know myself, for such knowledge is too high for me. I cannot attain unto it. Now, because I realize that I really don't know myself, because I realize that it is possible for me to deceive even myself, the psalmist ended the prayer with the petition, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be some wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, there is one thing that I don't want to be deceived about. There are a lot of things that I can be deceived about and it doesn't hurt me. In fact, it's probably best that I am deceived about a lot of things. A lot of people, they act like they like me so well. And I believe that they do. Now, I may be deceived. It may be that they really don't like me that well at all. It may be that they really don't care for me, but they're just acting like they like me. Well, that's all right with me. I think they do, and I'm happy, you see. So that's sort of blissful. I go on blithely thinking, oh, they really like me. That's wonderful, and I feel good about it. And so that doesn't hurt me to be deceived about things like that. But there's one thing I don't want to be deceived about. And that's the way of life eternal. You see, I dare not be deceived about my eternal destiny. Now, it does follow that the vast majority of people are deceived about their eternal destiny. And that's dangerous. Because that's so permanent. My eternal destiny, I don't want any deception there at all. Oh God, you search me. You know my heart. You lead me in your way everlasting. Because I know that there are two ways that a man can take. A way that leads to life and a way that leads to death. The psalmist declared that God is going to slay the wicked. Because I know that God is going to destroy the wicked, oh God, you search my heart. See if there's a wicked way there. See if there's wickedness underneath. If so, God, reveal it so that I can know, so that I can get rid of it, because I don't want to be deceived as regards to my eternal welfare. I want to make sure that the path that I am walking is going to lead to everlasting life. Lead me in thy way everlasting. In Ecclesiastes, it says, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is the way of death. A man can be going down a path of life that he thinks is right. It feels right. It seems right. But the scripture said the end thereof is the way of death. I don't want any false security about my eternal destiny. I don't want any deception at all when it comes to my eternal life. Many people are deceived in this very area. The Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with God, and yet we're walking in darkness, we're being deceived. We don't know the truth. There are a lot of people today who say, oh yes, I have fellowship with God. And yet they're walking in darkness. Somehow they think that they've been able to merge light and darkness. They feel that they've been exempted from God's laws. That they can still have fellowship with God, though they are still living after their flesh. Now, where Paul tells, be not deceived, God is not mocked, in that context, he's dealing with the things of the flesh and the things of the spirit. And he's talking about living after the flesh or living after the spirit. And don't be deceived, he said, in this area. God isn't mocked. If you live after the flesh, that's what you're going to reap. Now, he said, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. The top of the list, adultery, fornication, spiritual or physical, rather, uncleanness, actually, in this sense. Hatred, wrath, strife, envies, jealousies, drunkenness, revelings. And then he makes this bold declaration. And I have told you before, and I'm telling you again, that they which do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Having given to us now the list of the flesh, the works of the flesh, he said, don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. The people which are living and after these things, doing these things, living after the flesh, they are not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. There are many people who have spent their entire lives in church who will spend their entire eternity in hell. Being in church doesn't save you. Doing the church things don't save you. There are many people who have been lulled into a sense of false security because they go to church, because they give attendance to the Word of God, that everything is all right. But if you are living after the flesh, walking after the flesh, following after the flesh, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, Chuck, you're getting sort of heavy on us this morning, aren't you? It's God's word that I am declaring to you, and I would rather that you be offended with me now than to be offended with me later. I'd rather you get upset now than to be upset later. I don't want any of you standing at the judgment bar of God and saying, Chuck! You rat, why didn't you tell us? Why did you allow us to go on? Why didn't you warn us? I'm warning you. You cannot live after the flesh and reap after the Spirit. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. Oh, God, search my heart. Know my heart. Try my thoughts. See if there's wickedness there. And oh, God, lead me into thy way everlasting. There is a way that leads to eternal life. Jesus said, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life. Few there be that find it. But broad is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there are that go in thereat." I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to wake up one day in eternity and find out that I've taken a way that leads to destruction. That I've taken a path that has led me away from God's kingdom. The supreme desire of my life is to spend eternity with God in the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ. If I don't do that, everything else is worthless. Everything else is dung. It's absolutely worthless. Life is worthless if I don't spend eternity with Him. All of the joys or pleasures or excitements or whatever I've had in life are worthless, totally worthless if I don't spend eternity with Him. What should it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The most important thing of all is that I am walking in the path that leads to everlasting life. Even if it be that it leads in the path of sorrow and suffering and sacrifice and hurt, it's better that I take that path and spend eternity with Him than to try to find the path of pleasure and ease, the easy way. Lead me in the way everlasting. We need to be more conscious of the eternal destinies. And we need to live with the consciousness of eternity as we weigh our actions by the eternal. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me, O God. Know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. If so, Lord, expose it so that I can get rid of it, so that I can walk in the way everlasting. There is a false way. Many people are deceived and walking in a path that leads to destruction. How can I be sure? How can I know for sure that the way I've chosen is the right way when there are so many ways that a person might go? How can I be sure the path I have chosen is the right path? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." If my life is in Christ Jesus, if I'm following in His path, I have the assurance that I've chosen the right path. Today, that's my only hope. My faith, my confidence, my trust is in Jesus Christ, that He has indeed given to us the path of life, that He indeed is the truth of God, that He indeed is the way. And as I'm following Him, I am confident. I've put my whole eternal destiny on the line. My whole eternal destiny is wrapped up in my trust and faith in Jesus Christ, nothing else. If He is wrong, I'm down the tube. But I'm convinced that he's absolutely right. I've bet my life on it. God, search me. I don't want to be deceived. No deception. Not when it is dealing with such things as eternity. I want to know. I want the truth. If it hurts, I want the truth. If it costs, I want the truth. It's too important. I dare not be deceived. Let it be your prayer. Let God search your heart today. Are you walking and living after the flesh? Have you forsaken the laws of the Lord? Are you choosing your own way? Are you trying to merge and blend light with darkness? Are you living in a questionable area? The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Are you trying to live after the flesh and still live in harmony with God? Let God search your heart and then respond in Jesus' name. Father, we just stand before you today, open. Before thy gaze, God, we hide nothing from you. You know us better than we know ourselves, and that's why we ask you to search us, Lord, because we know that we don't know ourselves. We ask you, Lord, to reveal unto us those things within our lives that are not pleasing with thee, that we might bring them also to the cross and reckon them dead. That we might live after the Spirit and walk after the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.